Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friends. This is Deb Boulanger. And if you're here for the very first time, welcome home. This is where you get the straight scoop on what it really takes to launch and grow a profitable coaching or consulting business. And we're on this series of how to grow and scale and how to show up as the CEO you need to be of this business. And today I have a very special guest, Leslie Grossman. Leslie is not the actress in American Horror Story. She is the author and executive coach. She is also on the faculty of George Washington University, leading the Executive Women's Leadership Program there. And now she is the founder of Circle Leadership, her latest initiative designed to give coaches and HR leaders whose goal it is to foster greater gender equity in the workplace, to provide them the skills, knowledge, and insights that they need to achieve their highest goals. And Leslie, I am so honored to have you here on Life After Corporate. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be invited. So thank you, Deborah.
And I know you don't have a Life After Corporate story. So tell us about your journey to entrepreneurship.
Well, I have a little bit of a Life After Corporate story very early in my career, which led me to become a very early entrepreneur, to be quite frank. So because my incident was when I was young, and obviously I didn't know that much about corporate world. I made a lot of mistakes in terms of speaking up at a time when women didn't speak up. And that really led me to start my first business when I was 24 years old. That was a challenge, but it was exciting because I didn't know that much. And sometimes when you don't know anything, you do better, especially at a young age. However, the travel there was really learning a lot. I've actually had 5 different businesses over the course of my life, initially in PR and marketing. And I will tell you that I grew those businesses because I always was a good listener and observer. And I did go back and work for a company in the middle of my entrepreneurial enterprise for 10 years and watched very carefully what my boss, who was the CEO of the company, did right and what I didn't think she did right. And I took that in. That plus always having a coach, I have to say, I always had a coach.
So important, right?
Yes. And that really led me into seeing that my passion was really helping women leaders. And that led me through the path that I've been on for the last 20 years, quite frankly. So I do believe in we cannot be leaders alone. And I'm not talking about employees. We need people to support us because it is tough out there. But to really fully realize our potential, we need the support of experts and others. So I took that route always.
And that's true whether you're in a corporate role. Let's face it, you know, even with the focus on greater gender diversity and greater equity and inclusion in the workplace, it's still not a friendly place for women leaders. And so I remember, you know, excelling up the corporate ladder, wishing I had a leadership coach, wishing I knew you then, Leslie. You know, 10 years ago, I really needed you. And you know, there weren't those kind of resources available in the corporation. So you had to find them yourself. And certainly as a CEO of a growing coaching or consulting business, getting that support on great strategies for growing your business, as well as how to show up as a leader, is so critically important. We did an episode 77 about how to choose the coach that's right for you, because it really isn't an option. It's a requirement for success if you don't want to waste a lot of time and heartache. So let's talk about this inner leadership journey of the CEO of a growing enterprise, because my mother-in-law always said, and I love this saying, remember, don't be mean, because wherever you go, there you are. And it's not about being mean, but wherever you go, you're inner dialogue, your past patterns of imposter syndrome or burnout tend to follow you along. So what have you seen as you've been working with women leaders who have made this leap to entrepreneur? What are some of the challenges that they face when they first start out as far as their leadership journey?
Yeah, well, that it is, there are challenges, there's no doubt. And it's interesting that you talked about what your grandmother told you, because there are habits that we have that actually hold us back, habits that we get when we're young, and the good girl types of things that don't work out in the workplace, whether you're in the corporate world. And then when you're in, they actually work a little better when it's in your own business. But there are the things that stop us. At Circle Leadership, I talk about the seven tenets of successful women leaders. And I think one of the most important of those tenets is mindset, and knowing that it is all, so much of it is in our head, right? But whether we're going to succeed or not, if we believe we're going to succeed, we can succeed. If we have a growth mindset and realize that it's a process and that we're going to learn along the way, that we, of course, we don't know everything as an entrepreneur. We need to learn it as we go along and really be listening and observing everything, and not let that little voice in our head, the one that says, you'll never make it, or you don't know what you're doing, we have to fight it off and say, no, that's not true. I can do this. You know, it's interesting, Deborah, this morning, I was watching CBS this morning, and LL Cool J was on, and he said, I'm going to just quote, he said, there is no deadline on your dreams. And I thought that was such an interesting phrase, because it's a process. And he actually said, don't listen to that voice in your head that tells you that you're not going to succeed. And he's an example. There's so many examples. We need those role models out there. But there are so many, because when we look at a Sarah Blakely, who just sold her company, right?
I know, amazing.
And I actually know her, and I knew her when she started Spanx. And she did it in her apartment. And she did so many brave things. And she had, we'll talk about the little voice in her head that tried to get her to stop selling those computers. She was out there selling copiers, right? That's what she was doing when she started.
Wow.
Thanks. I mean, she's got an incredible story. But we all have that. We have to, as entrepreneurs, we need to really look at the different kinds of, there are a lot of mindsets out there, but one of them is a growth mindset. Is to realize, yes, of course you don't know everything. It's okay.
Yes.
You'll learn it. You need to have conversations with people. You need a coach, but you also need to be talking to other entrepreneurs. You need to be out there building relationships with people that can help you. It's okay. They'll help you, and you can help them in return. So mindset is a key thing, such a key aspect of it. You know, curiosity.
I was just going to say, you know, this being curious, and isn't that interesting, is so, it's like the most important mindset when you first start out, especially, you know, you being curious about your new market. You're being curious about, oh, well, what would it take for me to stand out, to do something different? You know, if you come from a place, and the thing that I think blocks curiosity is fear.
Yes.
You know, because when you have that, and I'd love for you to talk about fear, because there's nothing like leaving the safety blanket and the family, no matter how uncomfortable or how dysfunctional your corporate family was, it's like something that you miss. And certainly the comfort of that blanket, of that regular paycheck. And so it kicks up all your fears. How do you deal with that?
It does. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay to be fearful. Like, I talk a lot about courage in the program that I do, but it is okay to be fearful and look at it and say, I'm feeling fearful about this, but I'm going to overcome it. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to take that chance, but I'm going to take that chance in an educated way, right? I'm not just going to throw everything away and start with nothing. I'm going to talk to people. And here's where curiosity comes in. You talk to other entrepreneurs. How did you do it? What did you do? What did you confront? You know, build those relationships with people that maybe people you know or people you don't know. Ask people that you know, who do they know that you could talk to about this? And then as you gather all that up, like you talk to Deb, people like yourself who help help others. We have to invest in ourselves. That's a thing that women often don't do. We often don't invest in ourselves. And I will say on my leadership journey, I didn't have a company that would pay for me to take training. You know, I said, you know what? I'm going to invest in myself. I'm going to pay for the coach, or I'm going to take this program, the 6-week program that I'm going to learn from. Because in that program, I met 20 new people that were all of a sudden part of my circle that I could bounce things off of and talk. And those are how you start confronting fear. You confront fear by knowing that you have others around you. You're not alone out there doing this.
You know, and I think you brought up a key point that I don't think we've really brought out on this show before, which is curiosity cures fear. And I'll share a little bit more about what I mean. You're talking about, you know, getting curious, building relationships, networking with other entrepreneurs, finding out how they do it. And the other piece of curiosity is reaching out to the people who you think you're meant to serve in your marketplace and being curious about their challenges. Because what happens is curiosity results in knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, once you know and you have a clear picture of, oh, this is where my market is challenged, or the people that I'm meant to serve are challenged. This is how I could help them. This is the way that they express their challenges. This is the way they express their desires. And then you start talking to them. That confidence, that curiosity brings confidence, because now you know what to say. Now you have clarity on maybe what you're building in your business. So that mindset of curiosity. And I always help my clients with a bridge phrase, which is, I'm in the process of,
mm-hmm.
you know, because so often we feel we judge ourselves like based on what we don't know, or what we don't have, or what we haven't done.
Right.
And so realizing that this is a journey and it is a growth mindset, I'm so glad that you raised that. Is there anything else that you want to add around, you know, what is a growth mindset? Because we hear that a lot.
Yeah. And I'm going to answer that, but I want to just go back to the curiosity. One more thing, one added benefit of being curious is when you show people that you're interested in them and what they're doing, that makes them feel good. And you start to hear ways you can connect with them and maybe even help them. So that's a curiosity is the way you connect with people. It's not, don't think, women should not think that being curious about people pushes them away. No, it brings them closer to you, because people love it when you're interested in what they've done. They really do. And then you hear things that you have in common and you can say, oh, wow, that's so interesting because I feel that way too. And here's what I'm doing. It kind of creates an opening for connection. So
yes.
I just wanted to add that, because often we as women are feeling that it's not right to impose on people. It's not imposing. It's
right.
Really connecting. It's showing a connection.
And curiosity is key to selling. You know, what you've just highlighted is sometimes in those early conversations where you're just gaining information, gathering information, people do get curious about you, and that conversation can lead to working together.
Right. So now going back to what you actually asked about the growth mindset. I mean, the growth mindset means understanding. When you have a growth mindset, you realize that challenges are an opportunity to grow. And a growth mindset is when you know that you will learn from every experience and that you don't think, well, I already know that. Some people are in that kind of fixed mindset where they think, well, I can't possibly succeed at this because I know everything I'm going to ever know. And that is so wrong. I'm growing every day. I'm a voracious reader of research and talking to people. And I have been, and I think that not only do I learn and grow from it, but I'm fulfilled from it. It's made my life so fulfilling. I've learned our conversations, Deb. I've been learning from you in our conversations. Everybody that I talk to, I learn from. So growth mindset is realizing that challenges, conversations, even failures are opportunities to learn. What did I learn from that? That didn't work out so well. What did I learn from that? Or that person didn't really want to talk to me about that. Well, maybe let me think about why. You know, it's like realizing that in our minds are our most powerful tool that we have for succeeding in life, be it as an entrepreneur or otherwise. And taking the time to listen and take it into our minds and say, what can I learn from that? I feel this way. It's okay to say, I'm feeling not so good about that conversation. Why don't I feel so good about that conversation? What path did it take? What could I learn from that experience? That's what a growth mindset is.
Yeah, one of my coaches early on gave me this hack, and it was like, whenever something didn't turn out the way you wanted it to, whether it was a webinar and no one attended, or someone didn't sign up for your offer, she said, make two columns, and in one column, put what you liked best about that experience. And then in the other, what do you want to do next time? So it was like that liked best next time. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is sometimes there's two of us showing up to the conversation. Mm-hmm. The person who's present or somewhat present, and the other who's judging your own performance. And I think, you know, releasing that judgment, and again, it's curiosity. Right. You know, I think that's the core theme so far in our conversation, is how can I not judge myself for this? And that's where the patterns from the past kind of get in the way, and, you know, where it's like, well, I don't know what to do, being stuck in that frozen place. Right. What are some of the other challenges that you see women entrepreneurs when they first start out? And then I want to move to a place of what new mindset challenges come up for you as you start to grow your business and scale your business. And you have to show up in a different way as a leader, because you're hiring people and making bigger decisions, because now you have the care and feeding of others on your payroll.
Right, right. Yeah. So, yeah. And actually, some of these things we're talking about even applies to when you bring in people into your business. And I think that that's an important one, because when you get to that point where you have too much on your plate, and that can happen very early, you have to start looking for people. And the thing that I'll tell you, the thing that's had the most powerful effect on me and my clients that I bring it to is the philosophy of a book that I've read, and I read it every year, called The One Thing, and written by Gary Keller. And we as women, the thing that gets in our way as leaders and as successful entrepreneurs is our multitasking, because we try to do too many things at the same time, and we don't focus on the one thing that is most important to grow our business. And that's what we have to identify. What is that one thing? That's what I need to be doing each day. And making sure I've set a time block, a big time block, to do that one thing. Yes, okay, those other little things need to be done when you don't have employees, right?
Well, right.
Maybe then what are the three, that long list, forget that long list. What are the three things on that long list that you really have to get done? Put them at the bottom, and you can do that at the end of the day, or probably at the end of the day, because usually if we start off multitasking early in the day, we never get to the one thing that's going to drive our success, which they're learning, you know, from you or from whatever. But to me, the one thing has been, I read it every year at least once, and it gets me back on the path. Okay, my energy has to go here, and I have to put my focus here. And you know what? That is often why men are more successful than women, because they are linear thinkers. They actually can only really think about one thing.
That's true. That's true. They also can't find anything in a cupboard or refrigerator that's hidden behind something else. Right. I don't know what genetically is about that.
It's
but
the brain.
It's so true.
That it is actually a difference in how our brains work. It's scientifically documented. And women are web thinkers. And that actually is a great thing in terms of overall. That's why we're so good at taking care of children, doing this, doing that. But it's not so good when we're focusing on our business, because everything else becomes equally important, and it's not.
Right. And that leads to things like confusion and overwhelm. But it's also, it sounds to me as you're talking, like a symptom of resistance. You know, it's like sometimes the one thing is the hard thing, what we think is the hard thing to do. Or,
yes.
And then it brings up the doubt of, well, I'm not sure, I don't know. And that can lead to overwhelm. So talk a little bit about that whole, you know, once that train leaves the station, yeah, it's kind of hard to reel it back.
Right. Well, it is. And that's when, you know, if you've hit that, I think you need to let your antenna go up and say, okay, what is that one thing that is worrying me? I need to address it. How am I going to get through that? Who do I need to talk to? What do I need to read? Are there other entrepreneurs I want to ask? Here's your curiosity. Ask them about it. Have you had that experience? How did you deal with that experience? You know, we have to get support from other people to get through those roadblocks. But we really have to identify that one thing that's going to drive the business forward. And that one thing might be, we do it that week. And then maybe the next week there, we've got it. We finally did it. Okay, we got through that. Now what's the next one thing that we need to do? And if we need help, if we're in overwhelm, we need to take a breath. Sometimes we need to walk away. This is where walks are the best thing. Even to this day, I have found when I go for a walk or go on my treadmill and I'm not reading, just let my mind clear. Let my thoughts clear. Think about what is it that's on my mind? What do I need to do next? Just allow our mind to free ourselves from all the other clutter and all the fears that are going on. For some people, it's meditation. For me, it's a walk. And whatever works, I think we need to give up because women are in overwhelm because we have so much on our plate. And it's not going to go away, but we can start to deal with it by putting it in its place. The kids are off to school now. Okay, this is my time to focus, you know, or if the kids are there, you need to send them to somebody's house or do whatever you have to have your own time to focus. We need to take care of ourselves. I used to have a poster up when I had my business where I had 15 employees, and it was Fritz Perls, who's a famous philosopher, and it said, take care of yourself so you can take care of others. We have to make ourselves number one, not only for our business, but for our health, for our well-being. And don't leave that out. Because when we take care of our well-being, we will be better at business too.
You know, it's so true. And so much came up for me there, including the image of, you know, when the oxygen mask comes down, put it on your face first before you try and help someone else. But, you know, as you grow your business, and you mentioned hiring 15 people, you know, as you start bringing others on board, whatever your Achilles heel is, I guess, for lack of a better metaphor, on mindset, it'll just get amplified as you bring more and more people on the team. So if you're not organized, or you don't follow a standard process, or you're not clear on what's important now, it'll be really hard to lead others. So let's talk about that leadership journey and what changes once you start hiring other people and expanding your team.
Yeah, well, one of the things that changes is we have to give up being the jack of all trades. And we have to focus on what is it that we are each really good at? And what are we not so good at? And those are the people we hire. Because a lot of entrepreneurs make the mistake of hiring people that they like, that are like them. They're a mirror image of themselves because they feel comfortable. But in reality, that's not really what we need. We need somebody who is strong in the areas where we're not strong. And maybe their personality is not the same as ours, and that's okay, as long as they have certain attributes that will make it good to work with them. So as a leader, we have to be able to see that and have confidence in our own abilities, but know it's okay not to be good at everything and to bring people in that will be good and be willing to listen to them and trust them. So that's also part of the growth mindset, you know, is realizing those things. And it's not always easy to do that, but it's really, really important. And I found that when I learned how to do that, that's when my businesses soared, when I was able to do that. And that applies, by the way, to women that are in executive positions, too, because when we're hiring people, whether it's as an entrepreneur and as an executive, we have to delegate to them. We have to give them responsibility. And that's another thing that women tend to hold on to, you know, and it's like one of the things that some people get mad at me about. But I'll say often good is good enough. Perfect is not necessary because we go as one of the things that women often do. We're perfectionists about things. Yeah, there's certain things that need to be perfect, but then there are other things that good is good enough. And I think that that's a philosophy that has also helped me.
Yeah. You know, and there's also things that can trip you up, you know, because sometimes, you know, when you're leading people, you have to have difficult conversations because not everyone you hire is going to work out perfectly.
That's right.
So that, you know, if you have a habit or a pattern of being a people pleaser, then that doesn't work out well if your primary objective is to get people to like you as opposed to, you know, communicating, here's what good looks like, here's what success looks like as part of this rapidly growing business and this rapidly growing team, then it'll come back and bite you later.
Yes, you're right. And the people pleaser thing is really, really important because as a leader, we're going to, you know, you do things that are not going to please everybody. And you have to be straightforward, but you can do it in a way that does not threaten them. You know, you just being kind or empathetic, which has now become the word since.
Yes, empathy.
That's right. And that was never associated with leadership before. But it is now, and it is really the word of the 20th decade is empathy. But most women tend to have that.
Yeah.
Most women tend to have it. It's the men that have to work on that a little bit more. But we can't be over empathetic either. In other words, we can't. When I say that, people need to communicate with us with when you have people working for you, you can't let them just say, well, I couldn't get to it. I couldn't get to it. And say, oh, I understand you have children. You have children. Well, guess what? But they have to let you know if they can't get to it. People need to be accountable. As leaders, we have to learn how to hold people accountable. As entrepreneurs, we have to do that. And we have to tell people deadlines. There's a lot of things. We have to be managers and good managers, but also inspire people with leaders, inspire people with the path that they're going and make sure that the people that work for you understand the bigger picture, why you're doing what you're doing, the why, right? We always talk about the why behind what we do, because when people understand that, whether it's employees or people that you're engaging, other entrepreneurs, make sure they understand the why you are doing the work you're doing, because most women are doing it because they want to make a difference in some way, in some
way. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I've seen as a common theme for women entrepreneurs is they want to make an impact with their work. And so as you start growing this business, you know, the lessons that we've learned from Leslie so far is that when you first start out, you know, be curious. You know, you're not expected to know everything. Let go of self-judgment. Be aware of fear and resistance. And I remember when I first started out and I would encounter that, I had a post-it note above my desk that says, how much do you really want it? You know, how badly do you really want this to succeed? And that would push me through. I really want it. So, okay, I'll do what feels uncomfortable.
Right.
And then as your business grows, you're not chief execution officer, you're chief executive officer. And so how business gets done will change, and being willing to delegate and not have to control everything and hiring people who are different than you, being a good communicator and being passionate so that people understand the vision. You know, I think Simon Sinek says the definition of a leader is that people follow them. You know, people want to follow them.
That's right. That's right.
So any other lessons learned from working with women leaders and women entrepreneurs who start growing in responsibility and growing in impact?
Yeah, I think that the one thing, and you mentioned it, is when you're feeling uncomfortable, that's a good sign. Take it as a sign and say, okay, I'm going to get comfortable with this discomfort I'm feeling, because if I continue to grow, it's going to keep coming up, and that's a good thing. So I take that as a sign and keep, I always had for many years, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And the other thing that another sign, I'm sharing some of my signs, which I also share with my clients as well, pause. To me, pause is a really, really important word, and you can take it in a lot of different ways, and they're all positives. But it's like, don't react. Take a breath before you react to something, whether it's something that somebody has said to you or you change your direction suddenly. Listen to people that want to give you advice, but that doesn't mean that you should do everything they tell you to do. Pause and say, yeah, is that really the right advice for me in the route that I'm going? let me think about it. So I think that we need to, we're always so rushy, rush, rush, rush. We have to slow down a little as leaders, as entrepreneurs. It's not a bad thing. And I think that if anything, we learned that during this COVID crisis.
Yes, we did.
Slow down a little. And as entrepreneurs, use apply that for your business. If you don't do something tomorrow, your business is not going to go. You're not going to go out of business, or it's not going to fail just because tomorrow you decided you want to just think about all these things, or you need to go take care of something with your children or your family. It's fine. Just block yourself out. No, this is a me day. This is a family day. This is my thinking day.
Yes.
The next day, I will be back at it again. And I want to just consider all that I've learned this week and see what are my next steps going to be? What's my one thing going to be next week? That would be my advice, is don't panic, slow down,
pause.
Yeah.
Don't panic, pause. Leslie, that is such a jewel to share with our listeners here today, because it's so hard to pause. You know, we feel like there's so much to get done. It's go, 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 and working weekends or burning the midnight oil. And, you know, I love those times where I just give myself permission that, I'm going to just lay out on the couch and grab a book or turn on Netflix and I'll get back to work tomorrow. You know, you do need that pause.
Yeah.
And also when you talked about taking a walk, you know, in meditation, the Buddhist monks, there's more than one ways to meditate. You can meditate taking a walk, just putting one foot in front of the other and being present with the act of walking is a form of meditation. So there's all different ways to take a pause. So Leslie, this has been such a rich discussion about leadership and women and leaders and how to get the growth mindset to grow your business and scale. How can our listeners stay connected to you if they want more of Leslie Grossman? How do we find you? How do we get involved in Circle Leadership?
Oh, well, thank you for asking, Deb. Well, first of all, definitely connect with me on LinkedIn, number one, and I will be delighted to connect. And then Circle Leadership, which the URL is actually hercircleleadership.com. Come visit that website, sign up. I have a newsletter that I do, and I do some podcasts too. And I'm sure I'm going to be speaking to you about new things on that as well. And yeah, so I'm out there doing a lot of things. And if someone is a coach, and they are interested in sharing that, they really want to learn how do we train women leaders in a very specific way, because I've been developing that for years. I do that program at GW, and we've gotten such amazing women that have changed their lives because of what they've learned, not the expertise that Deb, you give, which is really how to run the business, but how to be a stronger leader, how to get through all of this with confidence, with courage, with shift in your mindset, and the blocks that come up in the world. How do you deal with those limiting beliefs and get through them? Those are the kinds of things that we train coaches and HR people to help women out in the world, because I'm focused on gender equity. And that's my hope, that I will do everything I can to achieve that by multiplying the work that I do.
Oh, it's so important, Leslie. And I'm so grateful that our paths crossed. And yeah. I've learned so much from you. And, you know, I feel like you're a sister from another mister. You know, it's just been such a great early on in our collaboration. But, you know, we met during that early time and when the pandemic was first happening. And, you know, we were both kind of like, well, what's going on here? And, you know, how do we navigate this? And it's great to talk with you on the other side of this and to see how you've expanded your leadership with hercircleleadership.com. So we'll put that in show notes so that folks can grab that link and get involved in the programming that you're offering. And Leslie, just my sincere thanks. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Deb, for inviting me. This has been wonderful. And it shows you through the pandemic and post, we need to keep making relationships. That's what helps our businesses thrive.
And on that note, we're going to leave it there. And we'll see you next time, my friends. Take care. Thank Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.